Blog Talk Radio.
This is your girlfriend, your buddy, your pal, Latonya, and we got my girl, Nikki, hashtag Get Candy. Nikki, where you at?
Hey, everybody, it's your girl, Nikki. Welcome to a very special edition of Get Candid Radio. We're calling this episode The Virgin Diaries, a look behind their testimonies, where we have some lovely panelists who so graciously allowed us take a look into their lives, and I say, like, I'm not on the panel, but I'm trying to do my host's voice, and y'all won't work with me. Basically, you know, me and a couple of awesome women of God got together and really decided to share our conversation that we have in private with all of our candid listeners, and we're just talking about the road to purity. What we have all found is it kind of can be misunderstood, misconstrued, and we also believe that there's someone who may be helped by actually hearing what we have to share. So we got with the hostess extraordinaire, Miss Latonya M. Lang, and she, you know, broke down the conversation for us. I think it's going to be really, really good.
It's definitely going to be good. We got Morgan, we got Akia, we got Lisa, and we have Nikki. And it's four women, amazing women. And the myth is, you know, that, you know, women that are practicing purity, that's practicing, you know, what they preach, you know, they got to have on these long dresses all the way down to the floor. And, you know, they got buck teeth or they got big old glasses. All of my gorgeous women are gorgeous in their own way. They're beautiful. They're intelligent. And they are making waves in the industry. It's four women with four different point of views, but the same testimony. And you guys, y'all got to keep it locked. Y'all can always give us a call, 646-478-0409. Y'all are tuning in right now. I want y'all to do me a favor. This show is archived, so you can listen to it again and again and again. But don't just listen to it with, you know, just you, your four, and no more. Listen to it with you, your four, and four more, and four more. You know, definitely share this message because it's not just for women. This is a message for our young men. And we got some more for y'all on that tip, too. But y'all keep it locked right here. Here we go. Been the hardest thing to do in waiting because, you know, different ages, it is some young people out here that's 16 and they're still practicing. And some people are practicing and they don't even know that they're doing it. So my question would be, was this something that you thought about doing or it ended up happening this way, Lisa?
For me, when I was in high school, I had the mentality, well, I'll have sex when I'm ready. And then that kind of went into college, and then I got really serious about my faith. And then it kind of just happened. It was like, I mean, I made the commitment of purity, like, in youth group, but I didn't, like, determine that this is going to be a lifelong, until I get married thing, until I was in undergrad. And then it kind of just went from there. But when I was 16, I had the mentality, well, I'll just have sex when I'm ready to have sex. You know, when when I feel like I'm mature enough or I'm in love with the person. And then it just, God kept me. And then when I was undergrad, that's when I made the decision, like, I'm going to live for God. And that kind of, I went from there. And now I'm here today at 28. So he's been keeping me through this whole process. So I always
Kim, what
kept me when I didn't want to be kept.
Wow. And Kim, what about you? Was this something that was a decision, you know, that you made, or is this something that just ended up falling in line for you?
It was definitely a decision for me, similar to Lisa in high school. You know, I grew up in a Christian home, so I always knew that having sex outside of marriage was not, you know, was not right, was not a part of the Christian faith. But in the back of my mind, I used to say, well, you know, if it happens, it happens kind of thing. But once I rededicated my life to God in college, it was more of a a decision that I made. And the hardest thing, though, has been, you know, actually having opportunity. Like when I was not dating and I was just kind of focusing on the mm-hmm. Lord and doing all these things, you know, for God, it was a little bit easier. It was a decision, but I, you know, I wasn't really near the fire until I really started dating. And that's when that decision had to be a real decision in those rough moments. So that's been the hardest part, but it's definitely been a conscious decision.
And Nikki, what about you?
I'm afraid to answer again.
No.
Like I was saying before when I got on my preaching campus.
I love you, Nikki.
I love y'all too. You know that. We silly. But like I kind of touched on it before when I went into the question when I didn't know I was supposed to not be going to the question. In that I at a very young age I knew not to have sex, not because I was so close with God. I didn't grow up, unlike the ladies who have the beautiful benefit of growing up in a church home, I did not grow up in a church home in the traditional sense of the word, in that we didn't always go to church. We went every now and then. I knew God, but not really, you know, form of godliness with no power, that kind of thing. And so in my youth, it was all about going to wait till I get out my mother's house, and then when I get out of her house, I'm going to do whatever I want to do. So I'm the only person, I'm sure, that had, like, a strategic sin plan. Like, I was going to wait until I got 18, and I was going to go live with my sister, and I was going to go to the club, and I was going to drink, and I was going to do whatever I wanted to do, and I was going to have sex if I wanted to. Like, I had this whole itinerary because, you know, I'm organized. So when I turned 18, I was living overseas in Germany, and I just had a real, like, identity crisis, for lack of a better word, where I was like, I don't know what to do with my life. I had just graduated, and I was living in this isolated country where no one really spoke English outside of my family and the people on the base, and it was just a really isolating time. And the only thing I could remember to do was to lean into Jesus. And I remember saying, like, the whole sinner's prayer stuff like that. Girl, but, like, I think it was, like, Kirk Cameron on TV, on, like, TVN. I was like, I believe the Lord is my Savior, like, all this other stuff. And so I said all that to say that's when I came into an awareness of exactly who God was, what he had for me, and why it was important to continue along my path of maintaining abstinence. Because before then, it was not a God consciousness. I didn't have a purity mm-hmm. vow or anything like that. It was just I didn't want to disturb my mother's home. And after I got saved, it became, oh, wow, I have this really, really great gift. Let me hold on to this. So that's where my start started.
Wow. That's an awesome story, and I want to say thank you to all you ladies for sharing. We're at the time that we have to close, but we're going to get ready for part two, so y'all got to keep it locked. Hashtag get candid right here, right now on Industry Buzz with 3Zs.com. When we come back on part two, you'll find out, have you ever come close? That's the next question I'm going to ask our ladies. And how do you tell your boyfriend that you don't want to have sex and keep your virginity? Y'all keep it locked. More to come right here, right now on Industry Buzz. That's with 3Zs. Hey, what's going on, everybody? This is your girlfriend, your buddy, your pal, Latonya of Industry Buzz with 3Zs.com. This is part two of the Virgin Diaries, a background to their story and their testimony. We have Nikki here, Morgan, Kia, and Lisa hanging out with us, sharing their story. And I just want to say again, ladies, I am so honored to be able to be on the line and be a part of this groundbreaking conversation and testimony to other people that's out here. And, you know, we had closed out with a question, and I wanted to just open it back up to Morgan and just, you know, add in, you know, what was your story like? Was it, you know, lined up that way for you where you wanted to, you know, live a life as a virgin?
For me, my mother was a virgin until she met my dad. And so she had told me her story. And so I knew that that was kind of an ideal situation, but I didn't. My main reasons, I didn't want to have a child before I got married, and I didn't want to have, like, get a sexually transmitted disease. That was my biggest thing. And I didn't really have any guys that I felt like they deserved, quote unquote, to have sex with me. That was just kind of my mentality. But then when I was 17, I met ladies like us that are on the line. They were 28 to 37, and they were virgins or they were abstaining, and there was this big symposium, and they were sharing their testimonies. And I was like, oh, they're fly, you know what I mean? Because in my head, what I saw was, okay, if you're a virgin, that means, like, you look a certain way, you act a certain way. You know,
right.
There was just a negative connotation. But they were really put together. They were very confident. Half of them were telling their testimony after they had gotten married. And so I just saw, and I was like, man, I want to be like this, you know? And they explained the reasons for waiting. It just wasn't just don't do it. It was just that God died for you and you're his, and you don't have a right to give something that isn't yours anymore, you know? And so I remember praying a very specific prayer. I said, God, my desire is to wait until I have sex. Wait till I get married to have sex. But there might be a day where I'm tempted and I forget this commitment. So I give you permission to shut things down. Whatever you need to do, shut it down. And I'm telling you guys, like, there were times when there was one time I was in college. That was when I was in high school when I said that prayer, and I was very sincere about it. And I asked the Lord to help me if I wasn't able to abstain. I knew there was a guy that I've been talking to, and I knew I was emotionally attached to him, and that I would have had sex with him. And all my friends were like, oh, he's coming to see you for the weekend. I'm like, oh, no, this isn't good. This isn't good, you know. And the dude did not – he had this big plan. We set all this stuff up. He never called me. He never showed up. And the next day he was like, my grandmother had a freak accident and needed me to come and help her. And I was like, okay. And then he moves to South Carolina. like this is what I'm talking about. You know what I mean? Like, God just shut stuff down. Another situation, I was at my ex-boyfriend's apartment out of state. Nobody knew where I was. He barely knew Jesus. I'm staying at his apartment. This is not something. And he was like, do you want to read the Bible? I was like, what? Are you kidding me? You want to read the Bible? So, like, the Lord, I literally saw the hand of God, like, shut it down for real. So that's my story with that.
That was like right into the question that we closed out in part one. So if you guys have not heard it, y'all go back and get some popcorn and have a listening party. How about that? We're doing all this TV party. Have a listening party. But we closed out with, have you ever come close? So, Kia, have you ever come close? And, you know, what was that exit or that oasis in the desert?
Oh, my goodness. Well, that oasis was definitely God. My story is kind of similar to Morgan's, but I actually pushed the envelope a little bit more in that area in the relationships I've been in. But where God's grace would come in, the guys that I were dating at the time, they were not virgins, and they respected the fact that I was. And so even though in my mind I didn't have intentions to go all the way, you know, your body, you give an inch, you'll want to take a mile.
Mm-hmm.
And the guys will always be like, no, you know, stop. I'm not going to take this away from you. You go sit over there. you know, I'm going to have to sit on that other couch. So they will always actually, believe it or not, and so one guy I dated wasn't quite all the way living the life in terms of, you know, being a Christian. And he was like, no, just stay over there. Let's not even push the envelope any further. So, yeah, I've been in those moments, but definitely God definitely used them to be a ram in the bush for me in those situations.
Wow. Now, Nikki, what would you say to, you know, people that, you know, is dating someone, you know, that is unchurched and not a virgin, and you want to still cultivate a relationship with them? How would you tell, you know, your boyfriend that you don't want to have sex? Give these young ladies or these young men a step on process on how they can do that.
Well, I would hope that before you came seriously committed to each other, that the conversation has kind of been had. I would hate for you to be dating somebody 8 months. You're like, oh, and by the way, I don't have sex. Like, that's probably not the best time and the phase of the relationship to have that conversation. But I think that just upfront honesty, just so that you can see what's going on the front end, will prevent a lot of heartache on the back end. I believe it's Proverbs 29, and some of my preachers online can correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe it's 29 and 18 that says, where there is no revelation, people cast off restraint. But blessed is the one who heeds wisdom and instruction. So I think it's important to have wise counsel in your circle, people who are care for your soul and not just for your comfort, and people who are really going to hold you accountable, not to their standard, but to the Word of God, because a lot of times we have man-made standards that are not the Word of God. So I think it's important to measure what we're doing and how we're engaging in relationships according to biblical measure, and make sure that we have people around us that keep us accountable. Now, with that being said, does that mean that you're going to be absolutely foolproof? Certainly not, because you still have some work to do on your end. You know, faith without works is what? Dead. So we still have, you know, some work to do on our end. And I appreciate what the ladies are saying about, you know, their near sexual encounters, as they call them in the community, NSEs, because a lot of times people will tell you, and there's nothing wrong with this, by the way, but a lot of times people will tell you what they've been through BC. But I can attest that, no, after I received Christ, I had near sexual encounters where I thought I was going to lose my virginity. And like Akia said, it wasn't because I wanted to do the right thing. He respected a God in me enough to be like, I know that's not what you want. And I'm on the other end, like, I see some things that I like that I've never seen in real life before. Amen, somebody. Hashtag, you get it. That's what it is, right, Tanya? So, I'm seeing things in real life that I've never seen before, and I want to touch what I see, and I want to encounter. And I have had the person say to me, you know what, I value you. I know I'm not going to break your spirit like that. Or, no, I see God in you. And it snaps you out of yourself and say, wait a minute. I have been holding this for so long. He's right. I need to remember who I am, because I don't care how valuable you know you are. I don't care how much you are secure in your worth. Every person has at one point in time lost sight, even for a moment, of just how valuable and just how worth it they are. So I think we need those accountability partners. We need people in our lives who are going to say, you know what, I want to do what's in your best interest. We need to remind ourselves to stay rooted in the Word, because I realized for me, those times when I was the most vulnerable, in hindsight, I was really just so spiritually briefed in that I just was not in my Word like I normally was. I wasn't in fellowship with the believers like I normally was. And there's a certain level of accountability. If I know I'm going to see Akia next week, I don't want to have sex, girl. I almost had sex, you know. So it's one of those things where you want to stay accountable, because you know you have a circle of people to respond to. And I don't want it to ever be that one of my sisters or my family or my friends or even myself could say, yeah, you know, guys, I couldn't do it. I just had to go ahead and let the ghost go. So I think those things are key. So at a real fundamental level, to answer your question, accountability is key, and you'd be surprised how far it takes you.
Wow. Now, Lisa, you know, I want to pose this question. Some women out here, they have accountability partners. Like, I have Nikki, you know, as my accountability partner. And sometimes Nikki will call me and I'll be like, I don't want to tell her what I just did. So I'm not going to answer the phone. I'm going to wait, because it seems like she called me. I don't know if y'all have this, but it seems like she called me right after I did something that was going crazy. But some people just don't have that. Before I met Nikki, I had my, you know, immediate family, but I really didn't have that person outside of my family that was, and I considered my accountability partner. Lisa, how do young women or young men become accountable if they don't have someone around them? If someone else that's around them, they're loose and fancy free. Everybody has a story. They're doing their own thing, you know, and they're not trying to live that lifestyle, but the person wants to live that lifestyle. How can they create some sense of accountability, you know, around them, Lisa?
I would say accountability works as much as you want it to work. I feel like you have to be accountable to God first.
Right, right.
Because even when I have accountability, it's been the times that I've had accountability that I just didn't talk to them. I mean, the last person I dated, Morgan is kind of acts as my accountability partner. She was calling me. I don't know if you remember this, Morgan.
Yeah.
You were calling me. I just didn't answer her.
Yeah, she didn't pick up.
Because I feel like when you have your mind set on something, and not that I wanted to do something bad, but I have boundaries. So if I overstep my boundary and she knows I'm going to overstep it, I just won't answer. So I feel like you have to be accountable to God first, because you can have accountability set up, but when your mind is set on doing something, it has to be, you say, okay, Morgan is in Virginia. I'm in Florida. Morgan can't see everything, but God can.
Right.
And I have to constantly remind myself, okay, this has to be, I have to be accountable to God who could see everything. And I think when we have that mindset, we can have people around us that ask us questions, but ultimately it's people who fall every day who have 5 accountability partners and nobody knows where they're at. Because you have to tell somebody that this is, you have an opportunity, mm-hmm. you know. And so in those times where I didn't fall, I remember one time when I was 18 and I was really close to falling and I was just like, this is about to happen. And the only thing that snapped me out of it was I asked the guy, I said, what am I to you? And he said, you're Lisa. And at that moment, I realized that after this moment, I didn't mean anything to him. And that's mm-hmm. what snapped me out of it. Mm-hmm. It's realizing, like, you probably won't call me tomorrow mm-hmm. if I give this to you. And so I think in times where you're most tempted, you need to know your value and the mm-hmm. fact that God sees everything. Mm-hmm. I hope that.
Nikhil, what has been your accountability, you know, your accountability circle and, you know, keeping yourself, you know, on the straight and narrow and preserving your stand?
For me, like Lisa said, definitely God first. But also, I think my close friends as well. I mean, it's good to, you know, when your close friends and your accountability know that you're holding out. You know, like Nikki said, you don't want to have that conversation like, okay, you know, it's over. You know, like I gave it up, especially at this point. Like, I feel like I have so much invested at this age, you know,
right,
I mean,
girl,
I'm
right,
waiting all this time, and you know, and I, right, and it's not something I necessarily wear on my sleeve, but I do. I mean, in terms of my virginity, but I do, you know, one-on-one when I'm talking to other women, and you know, they're talking about their relationships and having sex, and I tell them I'm a virgin, and I'm, you know, of course, I'm giving glory to God about it and why I made that decision. That's a testimony I want to keep. So that's definitely. You know, being accountable to myself as well, just knowing that I'm valuing my testimony and valuing who I am and giving God the glory the best way that I can. So that's how I keep that in check. But it's hard. It's not easy. You definitely got to stay out of the hot fire, stay out of the kitchen. So you don't want to give yourself an itch, you know. But, yeah, that's how.
Hashtag get candid, y'all. Hey, to everybody that's listening in, y'all can definitely hashtag get candid. Y'all, send them questions in. I see them coming in. We do have another question that's posed by a high schooler, and I want to open this up to you guys. This question is, I want to stop having sex, but I like it. How do I stop? Nikki?
Y'all all got quiet. I feel like I've been talking a lot, so I was trying to give everybody else room to talk.
Oh, Morgan. Okay, well, we go with Morgan.
Man, Nikki, come on.
I answered, but you know, as preachers, we can go and go, so I'm trying to really...
Well, Morgan, what do you think? And I'm going to just take this question down the line because everybody, you know, have their own, you know, perspective. You guys have, you know, been able to accomplish this. So they want to stop having sex, Morgan, but they like mm-hmm. it. And they
yes.
said, how do I stop? How do I live a life of purity and celibacy?
Yeah, and that's a real question that I've heard a lot of people ask. This is what my suggestion would be, is first, just like it's been said by all the women, is to understand the spiritual implications. So there's an image that somebody sent me where it's a picture. There's a mirror image of the woman and a man about to have sex. But as you look in the mirror, you see that instead of a man on top of her, it's a demon on top of her. And so mm-hmm. I would suggest, like, really looking at, even though it might feel good, trying to change the perspective of this isn't good for me. And I know that, so really taking a moment to look at, even though it's a moment of gratification, what are the lifetime consequences that it can have on my mind, on my body, on me spiritually, and knowing that you are worth so much more. And that it's not nobody is saying that sex doesn't feel good. I'm sure it feels good. Nobody's saying that. Nobody's saying that it's not a good thing, but it's all about in context. So making a decision now to wait. And so when you do have sex under the realm of marriage, it'll be so much better than doing it now. So I would suggest this young lady or young man, whoever is having sex and wanting to stop, to look at what is it really doing to me. Even though it feels good right now, how is it tearing me up inside, and how spiritually, how is it, am I opening myself up to demonic influences because I'm operating in disobedience? So that's one thing, and I really would encourage, because the word of God is powerful. And so for me, when I was tempted in having sex, I would write out scriptures, you know, that would help me, because, you know, that's our sword. That's a weapon. And so the temptation is still going to come, but you begin to find out those scriptures. Okay, no, my body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to flee sexual immorality. And, you know, continue speaking that over yourself and watch things change, and really talk to the Lord and find accountability partners. But really be real with the Lord about, hey, this is a struggle of mine. Lord, I don't want to have sex anymore. Help me. Can you please alleviate or relieve this temptation from me? Just like, because if he did it for me, the word of God says he's no respecter of persons. And my prayer was, if I'm about to fall, stop me. And so that person can do the same exact thing and see what the Lord does, but really not put themselves in positions. You got to set up boundaries. So if you know that you like sex, you might not want to be over God's house at 11 o'clock at night, watch the movie under blanket. It's just not a good, it's not going to be good, you know. So really, you know, really being sincere and knowing that this is not an option, you know. So making a decision that, you know what, I like sex, but I love God more, period. Mm-hmm. And if you make that decision, and it's no opportunity for, I like sex, so I might go back. No, I'm not. It's not an option. I love God more than I love myself. I love God more than I love a climax. I love God more than I like, you know, how his body feels. I love God more. And making that conscious decision. So, and doing things, you know, having accountability partners, reading the word of God, removing yourselves from people that are pulling you back in, you know, because of course people can influence you. So surrounding yourself with people that will encourage you in that, and just stay on top of yourself, knowing what the word of God says. So that would be my suggestion.
Wow, that was insightful. What did you think, Latonya?
Wow. Amazing.
Yeah. Just to give a little context to everyone, if you just listened from the beginning or the middle or the end, you caught us in the middle of our conversation. We just formatted it for radio. A little funny on the format, but we'll get it right next week. But overall, the gist was four women giving you a candid look, a transparent look on exactly what purity looks like. A lot of times people think you have angel wings or everything's all peachy and rosy. So I'm so glad that the women were transparent, that they really shared their hearts.
Everyone definitely did share their heart. And this is like a 101 to heartache prevention. Did y'all hear how I say that? It's definitely a 101 to heartbreak prevention. I just want y'all to, you know, just say it with me. Heartbreak prevention.
Prevention. Okay. Amen. Amen. Let the church say amen. Amen. Amen again.
Amen. Amen. And I'm just definitely, I'm so honored. Some of the ladies have never even, you know, took a platform like we did to have a candid conversation. I'm honored that you guys even allowed me to that testimony. And if you too have a testimony, I want y'all to get on industrybuzzwith3z's.com, go to NikkiWashington.com, go to LatonyaLang.com, tell us your testimony. We would love to talk to you as well. Our women is going to be with us again on next week, so we're looking forward to sharing some more of their story right here on #BeCandid on industrybuzzwith3z's.com. And we have some men out here as well. Living a life, you know, of purity, and we're looking forward to talking to them, because like we were talking about, Nikki, I think that it's important not just for our women to preserve their body, for our men, you know, and our young men, you know, to preserve their body as well for the women, you know, that's not my story, and even if it's not your story, you can live a life of purity, you can live a life of celibacy, and you can wait on the one that God has for you. You are worth the wait. Right, Nikki?
Yes, you are. True love waits. And it also, it is not a bad look. I looked at my sisters and said, they are such beautiful women of God. So if they can do it, surely anybody can do it.
I know when I sent it out, we got over 1,000 and something shares. So I thank everybody for sharing positive information. A lot of the people was inboxing me, said, so where they live at? They real pretty, and I protect my people, so I ain't trying to hear y'all. So y'all better go on here and two steps back, and you will get blocked.
They're beautiful inside and out, and we know the inside matters too.
And you are beautiful inside and out, you guys. So y'all keep it locked. Thank you so much for joining us. And me and Nikki just doing our thing. We love what we do, and we love you guys. And that's what this show is all about, not just about the love that we have for you, but the love that you will have for yourself after listening to our show. Y'all keep it locked. More to come right here on Industry Buzz with 3Zs.com. Get your popcorn. And get some of them friends that owe you money and make amends and share the Virgin Diaries, A Look Behind Their Choice Testimony, Part 1. Thanks again.